Welcome back to the IC Pixels podcast. This is Anthony.
And this is David.
So how are you coping with the pandemic?
It's a trying time for my family and I. I bought some toilet paper a few weeks ago. There was plenty of it. So I think I'm ready.
I literally just came from the store trying to find some toilet paper. There was none.
What you need to do is go to your job and talk to the janitor and see what they can do for you.
I heard people talking about it, like, people buying it. I didn't think it was, like, literally people are buying up all the toilet. I didn't think it was that serious.
Well, I think what it is just, like, one of those self-enforcing prophecies or whatever. If I say, yo, people out here buying up all the toilet paper, then yeah, everybody's going to say, oh, I need to go buy some toilet paper before they buy up all the toilet paper. And then there will be no toilet paper. So this might have been all a scheme of Charmin.
Big toilet paper.
Yeah, big toilet paper. Yeah. But yeah, like I went out a few weeks ago. This was before, it was a thing, but it wasn't a big thing because we had run out of toilet paper and it had nothing to do with Corona or anything. And so we just got some. But normally we get it from like Sam's or somewhere like that in the big bulk thing. But I just picked up some up from Target, and there was plenty of it at that time. But I haven't been to the store since because I don't go to the store that often. Period. Because I was talking to my wife or my mom, one of those people. Like now with Amazon, everything can be shipped to you. It's like I don't really have a lot of times I don't have to go to the store, but maybe once a week, like maybe yeah. for groceries or something like that. And to get gas, but other than that, I really don't go to the store just to hang out and like shop for clothes.
Yeah,
it's not 1994.
Yeah, I don't. I'm not sure what's gonna. Speaking of which, I just looked on the Amazon. I was like, let me see if they have it. They're out of stock on Amazon too.
Oh wow.
Well, at least this is a two-hour delivery thing, whatever that is. They don't have that, but
I assume that two-hour delivery is just getting it from a store for the low, yeah. or getting it from some distribution center, which would be the same place your local short store gets it from.
I mean, it's... I don't know.
So, with... So just today, my kids, they got kicked out of school for their unruly behavior and because of coronavirus. So now it's like, I don't know. Well, it'll be interesting because like my day job.
Your kids homeschooled?
No, but they go to a school during the week.
When did that start?
They don't go to like a school, but it's like a school. It's like a co-op or something they go to.
Oh, okay.
A few days a week. But they shut that down because Prince George's County, where I live, shut down all the schools. So for 2 weeks. So yeah, we'll see what happens. But I wouldn't be surprised if my job soon tells me, yo, go home. Because it's a couple people I work with that have gotten, they don't have like Corona as far as I know, but they've gotten sick or whatever. And everybody's like, oh, you're coughing. Yeah, everybody panic.
Yeah, it's like, how do you know if you're just like regular sick or just, you know, that kind of sick or what? Mm-hmm. You know, it's just paranoia. Yeah. I mean, my job, saying everybody's working from home tomorrow, like the whole company, they got everybody set up. I mean, well, you know, it's a kind of up in the air, like if it's, you know, come back on Monday or
don't come back
in 2 weeks. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, thankfully we're
I mean, but
set
with
up
kids
we're
out able of school, to it make it's like, well, you might as well let me yeah. work from home because what are my kids gonna do?
Yeah exactly. Yeah. And thankfully they're, you know, letting, you know, we're able to do that. My job's able to do that. So,
mm-hmm. yeah, if you work at McDonald's, I'm sorry.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of jobs out there. People are still going to have to work. I mean, I don't know. I guess I'm thankful that, you know, for what, you know, my job, that, you know, in profession or whatever, that I'm able to do that. But I mean, it's, I don't know. Some people are still going to have to work, yeah. I mean, like, I was just at Publix. And people still got to work. And there's a bunch of companies making... I saw it today. I don't know how accurate it is, but I guess Soulja Boy has a soap company that's doing really well right now.
I didn't know about that.
Yeah, it's like, wow. That should have invested in Purell or something like that, because I'm sure raking it in right now.
I know. I heard somebody at work was telling me about some kids getting suspended from school because they were selling squirts of hand sanitizer.
Oh my goodness.
So yeah. I mean, with the stock market down and all that stuff, it makes sense to like find ways to make money where you can.
Yeah, I mean, it's like a weird balance between exploiting and, you know, I mean, because my job, they deal with stuff like that. So, I mean, of course, we put up some pages, you know, talking about how we could help and blah, blah, blah. But it's like a weird line between exploiting and, you know, it's that whole, like, tragedy profit thing I was talking about before.
Yeah. Well, so what's funny is I've gotten emails from, like, random companies telling me how they're going to handle the corona situation. It's like, I really don't care, Banana Republic. Like, really?
Oh. It's like you just want to get your something in the email.
But it's like, really? What are you going to do that's different? Like, you have no impact on this, from my perspective. I don't know. Some of these companies may feel like they need to come out and say something, but it's like, I think some of it is that, and some of the, like if you compare it to the regular flu or whatever, it's not as bad, but I think because it's been so popularized by the news, a lot of companies have jumped on it possibly as a marketing thing, because it's like, oh yeah, let's speak out about this. Oh, let's get in the conversation as well, even though we really don't have anything useful to say.
We just
want to be in the conversation.
Yeah, you just want to have something out there to say or whatever to, you know, turn it into. Like I saw somebody make some kind of flyer for some event. It's like, oh yeah, you know, Purell party or something. I don't know, something ridiculous like that, or like free bottle of Purell at the door. I don't know, something like that. Some kind of promoting. It's just like, is this real? Are people really doing this? But people, I mean, it's. I was thinking about it. It's like, it's going to mess up a lot of people's little hustles, you know?
Yeah.
Not going to be able to host parties no more, you know?
Well, I know.
But all the internet things are going to do well.
Yeah, yeah. They don't need to slow down.
Netflix is going to. This is going to save Netflix. It's going to be another. Bird Box, you know how Bird Box blew up and it really wasn't all that good, but it blew up because everybody was at home.
Yeah,
that's probably going to happen again.
I still haven't seen Bird Box. Maybe I'll watch that.
It was okay. I mean, but it wasn't like, oh my god, you know, it wasn't as good as people made it. It was just that everybody was at home.
Yeah, and everybody watched the same time. Well, so I've noticed that as well, because I was talking to our sister about, like, she sells stuff on eBay, and like around Christmas time when everybody's at home, around Thanksgiving everybody's at home, especially like day after and stuff like that, you'll have a pickup in sales because everybody's at home. And I think the same thing applies obviously to Netflix. So it's an interesting situation in terms of like my own like design business and side work freelance stuff that I do. I haven't seen any effect. There are some people that have been told to reply. Hopefully they're not dead or anything. But other than that, I haven't
noticed. Everybody's got other things going on. Yeah. I mean, well, you know, I guess to make it, you know, a slightly less dark turn or whatever, I don't know. Like, what are some things you can do with your time if you find yourself at home for 2 weeks?
So one thing I wanted to do, if I do find myself at home, I will be working from home, quote unquote, but I would... I want to spend some time learning React, because that's just something I want to learn.
What's that?
It's a front-end framework for web development stuff.
Oh.
I've already started learning some of it, but I would probably spend some more time on that. But also, I really need to clean up my hard drive.
Oh.
On my computer, I have a solid-state drive for this is my desktop computer. I got a solid-state drive that I put in it like a year ago about. And it's like 250 gig and it's already full, and I don't know why, because I don't keep much stuff on it, but it constantly fills up. And every time it fills up, like, I was editing our podcast a few weeks ago and the drive filled up, so I couldn't export the file or whatever. So I really need to clean off that drive and just reorganize my stuff, put it in the right place.
Yeah,
because I know we've talked before about it, but little stuff like this, it slows down my whole process flow. And so if I'm trying to edit something in Photoshop and Photoshop is about to crash because it's running out of space, that's a problem.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll be doing actual work, if, just in case my employer is working. listening. But I don't know. I mean, you know, I've been wanting to find time to paint and all that kind of stuff for a while, so that'd be something that I can do on my downtime for sure. Mm-hmm. Do that. I don't know. Organize some other things. Work on some whatever branding or whatever other little project I've been putting off because of time. You know, just trying to find something, some way to, you know, be productive, you know?
Yeah.
You know, it's an unfortunate thing, but, you know, what do you do with your time? I mean, if you're not, you know, if you don't find yourself, you know, really sick and, you know, I mean, I feel bad for people that are in, like, you have to go to some kind of, they're using, down here, they're using some, sending people to, that have it to some kind of, like, or more serious, I don't know who's getting sent there, but, like, to some kind of, like, hard labor camp. that they converted. It's like, don't send me there. You gonna forget why I'm there, and I'm just gonna be out there breaking rocks, like in life. like 20 years later, it's like, whatever happened to him? Like, no, oh, well, you do good work. Just stay here. Like, oh no. But hopefully, you know, nobody finds himself in that case or whatever. But some people have health issues that may find another place. But, you know, if not, you know, even if you get a little sick or something, you know, find something productive to do with yourself so you don't just sit around and make Netflix money and all of the online streaming services, you know.
Oh, yeah. This would,
OnlyFans, really, you know, find something to...
It would really get bad if, like, the internet went out, because then you really...
Oh, my goodness.
The whole benefit of being at home for 2 weeks is gone. It's like, all right, now what am I going to do?
You got to read a book. Oh wait, you need internet for that now. No, nowadays.
So. Yeah, everything is very internet dependent. I've thought about that because like I've looked into doing things like you know how people do like a lot of that home automation stuff where they have like the Google Home or the Alexa that controls different things around the house, like closes the garage door, turns on the lights, all this type of stuff. It's like, you know, if the internet went down, what do you do? Like even like with the like the Nest doorbell and stuff like that, where it's streaming the video and you can unlock the door with your fingerprint or put in some code or whatever. A lot of those things, it's like, what happens if the internet goes out? And so anyway, but the other thing I want to do if I am in a situation where I have some downtime, I need to catch up on invoicing people. I talk about that a lot because I'd be forgetting to invoice people, but I think I'm not too far behind. I've been doing better this year. And it's translated.
He's going to send them an email. It's like, just thinking about you. Hope you, you know.
Hope you're healthy. Doing well.
hope you're not feeling. Hope you're doing well. Wanted to send you this invoice.
What that invoice do?
Yeah, like you've seen those future memes.
Yeah.
With him texting. Yeah, it's going to be like that. It's like, hey, you know, with us all being inside, I just thought about something that that money you owe me isn't inside my bank account. So I just wanted to send you this invoice. No need to respond.
So, I mean, that's, I don't know. I think it gets.
You can at least get them ready. Get them all ready. So, like, day they say, you know, I don't know, like, there's a day that it's going to turn around. But as soon as they start opening stuff again, you know, send them out like hotcakes. You get an invoice. You get an invoice.
Yeah, I don't know. I gotta figure that out. I need to look at it because there's several people I've just been putting it off on, and I just need to take care of it. And then I think some of it is more complicated if you have someone who's like continually sending you work, like, hey, design this thing, design this other thing. Oh, I need this logo. Oh, I need this flyer. Oh, I need this book cover. Because I have customers like that, or clients like that, where they'll just continually hit me up for different things throughout the year, the month, whatever, the week. I might get hit up 3 or 4 times for different things or changes to different things that I'm already working on. And so for that type of situation, sometimes it's difficult. I found it more complicated to invoice because I'm like, okay, let me wait until at least one of these things is finished and I invoice for that thing. But then there's still like 2 more things in process that I just need to remember to invoice for later. And so sometimes I'm like, let me wait for all of this to be finished and then I'll send one big invoice or something like that. So.
Yeah. I mean, you know. Oh, I didn't have anything to add to that, actually.
Yeah, you know.
I thought I had a thought, but I didn't. But, So, you had mentioned your desire to, in our other segment of our podcast, we complain about employees. I mean, not employees.
Oh, I was going to ask you about your thoughts on something. So, as a freelancer, you know, oftentimes you get people will refer you to other people or refer other people to you. So, I've done work for a lot of people and they refer me on, but generally, I can't control what they say when they refer on or whatever, but apparently one person who referred me on, they divulged prices as well.
Oh.
And so I did some work for this person. I told them, you know, the price will be dependent on, like, so it was a logo design. I told them price is dependent on number of revisions, amount of time it takes, and the complexity of the design that I do. They didn't ask any more details.
No.
So did the work. They asked how much, hit them with a number, and they're like, what? Is this the same thing that such and such got? Because she only paid this amount. And I'm like, And so, I sent a nice email and said, you know, I don't do flat rate design for anything. Nothing that I'm just going to say, it will be exactly $14 for me to post this link on your website. No, I don't know. Until I do it, I don't know. I will be fair. I will be like, I'll give you a good price if I can.
You have a base price, maybe.
But yeah, I can give you a range. But I don't know, because especially with like designing a logo for you, because in this case, this person asked for like a large number of revisions of their logo. And then the other part, I don't necessarily charge for this, but it's just like a frustration part, was that if I design a logo for you and it's just aesthetically unpleasing to me, then I can't put that in my portfolio. I can't use this to generate additional business. So...
Oh.
I definitely need to get paid for it because it's not helping me in any way except for you paying me. So, I don't know. I felt like it was, I don't know. I don't think it's a big deal that like you were like, yo, I got this logo for $90. You hit this guy up. That's fine. But if you shouldn't necessarily assume, especially when I tell you that it's all the price is dependent, you shouldn't assume that you're going to get the same number exactly, especially when you ask for a large number of revisions. On my part, it probably would be better if I had stepped in and said, yo, you're asking for a lot of revisions. This may affect the price. But I failed to do that. But on her side, him or her side, they failed to just nail it down or ask more specifics or ask more questions to get, make sure they know what's going on.
I would, I wonder if, there's a couple of different ways I'm thinking that you could deal with that. Like, one, up front, okay, in the future, I need to put these things as base prices and then tell people, this is how many revisions you get. If it's more than that, then it's going to cost more. And then being honest with them as they go through the process so they don't feel like, what? That's what you, That way you line out the whole process for them. They understand. So when they start doing a lot, then, they know that you're going to charge more. I don't know if it's possible to do this. I mean, I guess it's possible. It's just more complicated, like doing some kind of referral thing. So when you do work for somebody, you give them a certain rate, and it's like, this is your referral. I'll give you this rate, but you, for some kind of way, like okay, well, you have to refer me to, letting them know that they're getting a discount some kind of way.
So one thing I thought about what I could have done was also just upfront, of course, establish like number of revisions, all that type of stuff, which is kind of what I did, but also let them know, during the, what you said, basically as they go through the process, if they ask for a bunch of revisions, let them know, yo, you're asking for a lot, chill. Or give me a consolidated list of changes. I'll make those changes. Then we're done. Or something like that. But then I think that could have helped. I don't know. Because I think the whole referral thing is it's good. It's great when it happens. And it's great when people don't make assumptions about the price of things. But when they make assumptions about the price of things and then have all these questions or concerns, it's like, really? You can't haggle. This is not a haggling situation. If you wanted to haggle about the price, then you got to haggle on the front end. You can't complain on the back end because the work's done now.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, in this person that you gave like a lower price, I mean, why did you give them a lower price?
The first person that, so it was two people. The first person got a slightly lower price than the second person because the first person's logo design was much simpler.
Oh, it wasn't like on the strength, like, oh, no.
None of this was hookup. But if you got a simpler logo design, the price is going to be lower. I could flatten the prices out, but I would be flattening higher, not flattening lower. Like, everybody is 500 instead of, oh, yours is 450 and somebody else's is 600. Yeah. But for this situation, like, the first person, it was just a simpler design. It came out as something I could actually use as a promotional piece for myself to say, yeah, look, I did this logo. And, they were just easier to deal with. The second person, the logo, I don't know. We've talked about this before where you come up with a bunch of ideas for somebody and you have one throwaway in there. You show them all the ideas and they pick the throwaway. This situation, the person picked the throwaway and then they proceeded to make it worse.
Yeah.
So it was already not a great idea. And then they were like, no, but let me change this and put a heart on there and put a key on there. And like, what? No.
Yeah.
No, stop.
Well, not to throw it back on you, but maybe you should have made all of the logos good.
Yeah, I've thought about like, oh, well, I don't have any other options to give you, so here are the two good ones, and good luck.
So it's kind of your fault?
Yeah, I mean, looking back at it, that's one of the things I wanted to kind of talk about a little bit is, like, it's almost always your fault. Almost always. I mean, of course, there's some situations where the client is just crazy, but a lot of times it's your fault because if you manage the situation properly, you can prevent or like head it off before it happens. Like, so you let them know, look, ahead of time, look, this is how it's going to go. This is not something I'm going to put up with. This is not something I'm going to allow, or, you know, this is the price, whatever it is. And then it's less likely to happen because they know they've been told at least.
Yeah. I mean, I guess the other thing I would say is, you know, even for the person that you gave the cheaper logo, you need to be clear with them as to why it costs as much. So that when they pass that information on to somebody else, they can be upfront about it.
Yeah.
You know? But that and, you know, just make sure all your... Yeah, because it does backfire sometimes, like we talked about. They'll pick the worst one, which, I mean, there's always going to be one that's the worst. But I guess, you know, maybe it is a thing where... I mean, that's a different problem than what we're talking about. But, I don't know. Don't take the chance putting out something that's like halfway not good, because it may end up coming back to bite you. And then make sure you're upfront with the people that you're doing work for so that they know what they're getting and why they're getting it, because they're going to talk to other people. You know, they're going to recommend it. I mean, unless you explicitly say, you don't want to have to do that for everybody, like, hey, don't, you know, that's for people you're hooking up. Like, just for general work, you need to make sure the people understand that this is a base price plus this.
I try not to. I don't know, even someone I'm hooking up, I don't tell them it's a hookup all the time, but that is a good idea to start telling them, because I know I've talked to some people that do, like, on every invoice, whether there's a hookup or not, they put like a higher price and they say, oh, we here's the discounted rate that I gave you, so everybody feels good.
Yeah.
And they kind of know what the real value of what they got is.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good idea, because then at least you know that, yo, this would have been like double, triple the price if it weren't for, you know, the referral or however we made the connection.
Yeah. No, that makes sense.
All right, well, that's it for this episode. Thanks for tuning in. Hopefully we'll be back soon if we don't suffer or get sick from any coronavirus or
related. Or we'll be on time for the next episode because we're at home.
Yeah, that is also a possibility. But we want to thank you again for tuning in. We appreciate the support and the likes on Instagram and Facebook and the listens on SoundCloud and iTunes. And if you like our podcast, or even if you just listen to it, feel free to leave a review on iTunes so that people know, tell your friends about it, or tell somebody who might be interested in it about it.
And ask us for a button. We'll give you a button if you say it in the review.
Yeah, good point. So if you review our podcast and in there mention that you would like one of our buttons that say I'd rather be reading, we will send you one. So let us know.
Yep.
So anyway, thanks for tuning in. We'll see you all next time. And remember to wash your hands. Don't make any rash decisions. Use toilet paper. Don't touch your face too much. All that stuff that they're saying, don't do.
Don't be crass. Watch your. See you next time, guys.